You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch
at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
See, Danny, while I was at break, my friend Randall and I from the health club, he texted me. I picked up the phone. I called him and said, dude, I miss seeing you every day. He said, yes, agreed. We both got good workouts in. We enjoyed the interaction. He's become a good friend because I met him at the gym.
You know what's hilarious? At the break, I'm not joking, three different friends of mine texted me. One says, Cap is that guy in the gym that talks to people.
The worst.
Another person said, boy, I'm glad I don't work out at Cap's gym. And another one said, Cap needs to go to a gym because he's the walk around and talk guy.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that guy, too. Yeah. See, Cap, this is the difference between you and then Danny and me, is that when Danny and I show up, we have a set schedule, a plan in place. We want to accomplish the tasks at hand.
So do I.
And get out of there. Like, I'm not lollygagging around. I'm not having pleasantries with people. I'm getting my work done, and I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah, I used to have that attitude until the guy who was two lockers over from me, we would just two ships passing in the night every day.
And then what? He passed away? Is that what you're going to tell us?
No, he became the president of the United States.
Oh, Barack? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you and Barack were best friends?
Barack becomes president, and then you change your tone at the gym.
So you're saying if you talked to Barack Obama when you both worked out at the East Bank Club, you would have been vice president?
No,
I think that's what you're kind of implying.
All I'm saying to you is, like,
I got to get the newsmakers. This is a breaking story.
Like,
Cap would have been vice president had he talked to Barack Obama.
Couldn't give me that job for all the tea in China. I'm just telling you, I would walk in the gym, I'd go to my locker, and 2 seconds later, this same guy would walk by, two lockers, hey man, how you doing? Good, how are you? Have a good day, have fun. That was it. I'm like, wait a minute, that guy's running for president! And then you stopped seeing him. He had the Secret Service, and he was nowhere to be found. Yeah, it was a very nice man.
Right next to you, your locker was right next to
no,
his.
No, he was two or three down.
Okay, all right.
I know where your locker is in the East Bank. I feel like Barack Obama would have better real estate.
No, that's primo real estate.
You've got quite a walk from when you enter the locker room to your locker. Where I feel like Barack Obama's would be, you'd walk in and there would be Barack's.
Do you ever stroll around in there without the towel?
No, never.
Let little Cappy say hello to his friends?
Never. You're unbelievable. I do remember this guy who probably was, I'm going to guess, 75. He came out of the shower. The towel doesn't fit around him. He's dripping wet. And who walks by? Derrick Rose. And he says, whoa! And he had his phone with him. Derek, can I get a picture? And they're taking a picture of Derek Rose in all his workout gear and this 75-year-old man with a towel that doesn't fit all the way around his stomach and dripping wet. And Derek's, like, next to him trying to give a smile. That's how nice a guy Derek Rose is.
You know the legendary footage of Bigfoot walking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the footage that everyone looks at and they try and figure out whether or not it's real or it was fake.
Mm-hmm.
Why does every guy in the locker room that's walking without a towel doing that same strut that Bigfoot's doing in that footage? You ever notice that the guy who's naked in the men's locker room at a health club is always doing that same stroll through, like it's Bigfoot in the wild being caught.
In
he
the
stops
locker room.
And he looks at you.
Pretty good. 312-332-3776. Is our phone number. We'll get to the Bears discussion in a second. Jerome's on the south side. Hey, Jerome, what's up, man? Jerome.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I got you now, kid. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You was talking about the person that was touching the tomatoes. Well, I was in the store the other day, and I saw somebody put their hands in a bag of grapes, you know, just fondling all around, touch one, eat one, touch one, eat one. And I said something. I was like, hey, man, what are you doing? And, you know, the person was like, oh, this is how I test my grapes. I eat them, and I touch them. And I told him, like, man, it's a pandemic going on. I was like, don't you see all these people with these masks? So, you know, they just rolled their eyes at me. I grabbed the bag of grapes. I gave it to the store manager. And I think you should say something when somebody touch anything, any fruits or anything. You should. We all should say something because people is actually dying over this stuff, man. And nobody don't want to be, in general, nobody don't want you to be touching on my grapes, man, or any other grapes that you haven't bought yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, man. So that's all I wanted to say, man.
Jerome, stay safe, okay, man?
All right, you too.
See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Danny, they are going to lift up the grocery store limit on items.
I hope so.
In and I'm going to buy paper towel. You can only get one.
Really? It's like even though the egg compartment is full and the milk compartment's full, and my grocery store it's still limit two eggs, limit two milks. And I'm wondering when they're going to release that. Like, up it. I need more than two dozen eggs.
Yeah,
two dozen eggs in a day.
Yeah, your family goes through a lot of eggs.
A
lot of eggs. Is social distancing the new normal?
I don't think so. I think when a vaccine comes, we're all going to forget this and move on. You forget, like, young kids don't even understand the concept of social distancing, and they're going to, you know, hopefully they'll forget about this, and we'll all move past it. We'll have a vaccine. We'll go back on with lives like this. This never happened. It's just a bad memory.
Will restaurants ever have the same type of capacity?
That's an interesting question, and I wonder if restaurants in general will be affected by the fact that we all know how to cook better now. You know, like when this pandemic started, March 13th, when my kids' school closed and everybody got on lockdown on March 15th. Yeah, it was a Friday. Mm-hmm. Between that Friday, March 13th, and now, I can cook so many more meals. I am so much better in the kitchen. Thanks to YouTube, there's nothing you can't learn how to do. So, like, I can now cook more meals for my family than I ever did, which will make me more likely to cook at home. Plus, I'm drawn to healthier foods, and I have control of the ingredients I use, and I have control of how healthy I make the meals. So am I going to eat out less now because I have more abilities in the kitchen? I think that might happen. That might affect restaurants.
Well, and people's incomes have been affected. So that's also – you know what Waddle ought to do? Waddle ought to come up with a fruit wash thing. Tom Waddle's fruit wash. Were you washing your fruit always?
Always, always. They sell organic fruit wash. You go to like a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods, they sell organic fruit wash. We've been using that for years. My wife's taking it up a notch with the pandemic. Instead of using the fruit wash, she's hardcore with warm water and vinegar to kill all the germs. I think Waddle just uses like hand soap or Palmolive, you know, like dish soap.
That's what we've done.
Yeah. No, that's not going to kill the germs. They say vinegar.
But doesn't it soak into your fruit?
I don't taste it at all. I buy a bunch of grapes. She soaks the whole bunch of grapes in a bowl of vinegar and water.
For how long?
It's sitting on the counter what appears to be an hour or two.
Wow. Yeah, I take the avocado because I read about transfer from the knife into the avocado back onto your... So I just take soap and water. I wash every avocado.
Yeah, I'm sure that's fine.
So, doing the best I can. Can the Bears win the NFC North? I walked in, you asked me this question. I truly believe they can. I truly believe they have a really good football team, and it all begins and ends with how they play at quarterback. I think their O-line will be better. I think their coach will be better. I think their defense is one of the three, four best in the National Football League, and if they can avoid catastrophic injury, I believe that the Chicago Bears can win their division. Do you?
I don't think they can win the division. The reason I asked you this question is 2 days ago, maybe, when the Football Power Index preseason rankings came out, Tim Hasselbeck was on TV, and he said he believes, based on those rankings, that the Green Bay Packers are the most underrated team in all of football. Then, on Tuesday night on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter, the best show on TV, besides Part of My Take.
And Sports Talk Live.
It did that too. Ryan Clark was on, and they were discussing the Football Power Index rankings. And he said that the Minnesota Vikings may and possibly have a chance to win the Super Bowl and represent the NFC. So I thought to myself, based on Tim Hasselbeck saying that the Packers are so underrated and Ryan Clark saying that the Vikings are so good they could be in the Super Bowl representing the NFC, the Bears have no shot of winning the NFC North. If they've got two teams that analysts whose jobs it is to analyze and break down these teams' abilities are saying that these two teams are far and way better than other teams in the NFC, the Bears are really in trouble because they don't even know who their starting quarterback is. And people want to plant a flag in how good the defense is. I've got news for you. The defense was good 2 years ago. They lost in the playoffs to the Eagles. The defense was great last year. They went 8-8. I don't care how good the defense is. If the offense can't score some points, you're in big trouble. And we don't even know who's going to start a quarterback. And they can't have this quarterback competition that we're all looking forward to yet because they can't get on the field.
And we don't know when they can get on the field. But I truly believe that they won 8 games last year. It felt like they won 5. They won 8. They could have easily won 10. They got awful quarterback play. Mitch Trubisky was terrible a large portion of the season, and 90% of the season, he was bad. So whether it's him, whether it's Nick Foles, I can't believe they're not going to get better offensive productivity. I love their defense. I think their coach did a self-scout, is an honest dude. I loved listening with Sylvie the other day. I truly think this is a really good football team.
Honest dudes don't help you win games. He was always an honest dude. And like I said, the defense was great. You were 8-8 last year with a great defense. You lost in the first round of the playoffs with a great defense. It's time for the offensive side of the ball to do something. And because of that, the Vikings are not only good, they're improved. Mm-hmm. And the Packers, their coach just came out today on a radio station in ESPN, on ESPN Wisconsin, saying that although they were good last year, they're looking to be more explosive this year. So you've got a team that knows they need to be more explosive with Aaron Rodgers, who's still a top five quarterback in the league. It's tough as a Bears fan to say we have enough offensive firepower to keep up with them.
312-332-3776. Can the Bears win the NFC North? Can they? I think they absolutely can. We'll get Chris's thoughts. You heard Danny's. We want yours. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So let's go to the phones because we got a bunch of calls. Lou's in Munster. Lou, what's up in Munster, kid?
What's up, Cap Man? First time caller, long time listener.
We love you.
I feel like I love you guys too, man. Chris, Black, Danny, Cap, I had to call, man. I've been trying to reach you for the longest, man. I am so glad to hear Danny say the Bears, first of all, they have no shot. They have no shot, Cap Man. They just don't. Second of all, the reason my call was, I feel like UPS Joe, but I work for Centaur. But I'm calling Cap because I started intermittent fasting last year because of you and Danny talking about it and you getting on board with it. I have lost 26 pounds and have kept my weight off, and I am continuing to eat healthy. And also, I'd love to talk about the CBD oil. Cap, you got to get on board and try that, man.
Yeah, Danny's been all over me about that, but God bless you. The intermittent fasting's a great thing. Great.
It's a great thing.
And
I'll never go back, Cal.
Have you listened to Danny's podcast?
No, that's another thing that I want to do is start getting a chance to listen to that.
You got to listen to The Armchair Nutritionist. It's an awesome listen. And I changed how I eat, and now it's just my life. That's it.
It is. It is, Catman. It's your life. That's why I told my wife, I would never go back to the eating or the habits and the things that I had from this. This is freaking awesome. I love you guys. I just wanted to call in and say that. I'm always on the road, but you guys are great. And one of my top favorites is Chris Black. That's my man, too.
There you go, Chris Black. Take that, kid. Hey, Lou, stay safe and healthy, man.
Thank you. You, too. All of you guys, be safe.
By the way, make sure you call in when the Bears clinch the division.
Oh, I will.
You got it. Have a good day.
All right, bud.
See you, kid.
All right.
There's our guy, Lou, down in Munster. Munster, Indiana. Is that part of the region? Is that near where Yerk lives? Munster? I know it's northwest Indiana.
It's in northwest Indiana, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not a region expert. But you want to talk about positivity. Lou.
How about
now
that?
That's a beacon of positivity.
He said, I heard you guys talking. I just started to do the intermittent fasting and eat healthier. 26 pounds down. And he said, I've kept it off and I'm living a better life. God bless you, Lou. Love you, man. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Flip's in Lockport. Flip, what's going on, Sparky?
Hey, what's going on, Flip? I'm asking my... Oh, my God. Hey, what's going on, Flip?
He called you Flip. That's fitting.
Hey, I thought about it too much, you know. But I say there's no reason why the Bears can't win the NFC North in 2020. I mean, the Packers, they're losing it with Aaron Rodgers, you know, drafting Jordan Love with the 26th overall pick, I think. The Vikings, they traded arguably their best offensive threat in Stephon Diggs. The Lions, they're the Lions, and the Bears, depending on the quarterback play, could be a much better team than they were in 2019.
Completely agree with everything you said, Flip. Have a great day, man.
Thanks. You too.
See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Dennis is listening. Hey, Dennis, what's up, man?
Hey, Kemper, how you doing, Skittle?
Keep it good, Cookie. What's up with you?
Hey, not much, buddy. Say, I don't know, maybe you heard that. I read a thing on Top Bear Stories yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people probably mentioned it, but they had an ESPN analyst, and I haven't really heard of it much, but he's predicting Bears-Packers finish 12-4, and Week 17, the Bears will beat them in Soldier Field, and not only will they win the division, but they'll get the number one seed in the NFC playoffs, which is kind of exciting. He said the injuries to the Smith and the other linebacker last year, adding Foles and Quinn, drafting Komet and Johnson, who could be instant starters. He said as pathetic as their offense was last year and all those injuries, they still went 8-8. He thinks they can win it all. So I'm excited, and I'm telling you right now, the man that's going to lead up to do it, even though people are down on him, is Mitch Trubisky. I think he loves the competition. He's going to blossom this year, and look out, Cap. The Bears are going to win it all, not only just the division. They're going to be Super Bowl champs. You're hearing it from me first. Thanks, Mike.
Dennis, love your positivity. Hope you're right. Stay safe, man. Danny, what analyst is that that picked the Bears to have the top seed in the NFC?
I don't know. Somebody kept tweeting us about him. His name was like Nick Wright or Bill Wright or Bob Wright.
Nick Wright's a friend of mine. He's on Fox.
Not him. I don't remember who it is. It's not like an everyday analyst that we've heard of all the time.
Well, let's see. We can start crossing off names who it wouldn't be. It's not Black. It's not Abdallah.
I mean, it's just somebody that
I got two
wanted,
of them.
Wanted some,
I,
some
so
clicks.
To be factually correct, I don't write for ESPN.com, so you're right. It would not be me.
Correct.
You're friends with Nick Wright?
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, he's a really good dude.
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really good dude.
First Take Your Take My Take?
First Take Your Take My Take.
Is that the name of the show? What is it? Your Take First? Have a Take?
Something like that. He's a really good
take
guy.
Take of the morning to you?
He's a really good dude. I like Nick a lot. 312
Big
three.
LeBron fan. I'm surprised that you're friends
MJ
with
Basher.
Him.
Big MJ Basher.
He thinks LeBron's the GOAT. There's no question about it.
See, Chris, I live my life all in, and so I accept people for their differences and their ill-informed takes.
That's total crap.
Yeah, that's not.
That is total, total crap.
It doesn't mean I don't argue with him, but he's my friend. I like that guy
all right,
a lot.
You don't accept people for their takes.
Yeah, you just threw in a nonsensical idea that Abdallah and I write for ESPN.com. I was unaware that we write for ESPN.com.
Well, I didn't say you did. I just said I know who it's not.
Why?
The two biggest haters in the building.
Well, that's factually incorrect as well.
I think it's pretty.
It's a hater to say they're going to go 9-7 and get one of the wild card spots, which I've said since the schedule came out. in this offseason. Right, that's a hater take.
We'll just throw Abdallah under the bus.
A guy who's not here to defend himself. I see how it is.
Yep.
Your take, my take. Have a take.
Have a take. Let's see. Alex on the south side of our great city. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, appreciate y'all taking the call.
We appreciate you.
Hope everyone's staying healthy. Lifelong Bears fan, of course. I want the Bears to win. Vision, but how do you see it? What quarterback takes that jump in their third season? It just typically doesn't happen. The only one that comes to mind is maybe Troy Aikman, and it's Trubisky Aikman. I'm not so sure. Those early Cowboy years were pretty difficult with Aikman, but by that third season, he really made that jump. And then Nagy, doesn't this guy rub people the wrong way? Doesn't he say all the right things all the time? Doesn't it feel weird? Isn't he just agreeing with what people have discrepancies with his play calling? It's a weird vibe this year. Maybe it's the COVID stuff, but
See, I love Matt Nagy. I love it, and he doesn't always agree.
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game against Denver. Watch that and tell me tomorrow. Did you happen to watch a Colts game yesterday?
Like, he'll go back at you. Absolutely.
Yeah. It just feels like he's always got an answer prepped and ready.
Isn't that what we want? Like, we hated when John Fox wouldn't answer any questions, when Lovey wouldn't answer any questions, when Mark Trestman sounded just out of his mind at a press conference. Now we got a coach who I listened to him with Sylvie last week or 2 weeks ago with him and Jesse. He was awesome.
Cringy.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I guess. Each their own. I don't know. Some people may find it cringy. Some people may find it authentic.
I can tell you, his players love the culture he's created there. I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely better to have some personality there.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, y'all. Have a good one.
You too. Have a good day. 312-332-3776. Let's go to my friend, Mitchell, in Des Plaines. Welcome back, Mitchell. How are you, kid?
Hey, what's up there, David? First of all, you know, the Bears are in a situation where they've done some nice changes. You know, they've made some necessary changes at the most important positions. Now, let me break it down like this. Foles is going to be fantastic for the Bears. I'm very bullish on that, okay? He knows the system inside out. He's way ahead of the spectrum of understanding the offense versus Team Trubisky, who really is not ready to play in the NFL, let's be honest. Now, if they can get that all firing up and let Nagy do what he wants to do, and he has to put an emphasis on the running game, okay, that's no secret, I think the Bears could be competitive. However, the bottom line is you cannot put the emphasis on the defense scoring all the points.
Agreed.
Okay, and the bottom line is this, David. If Foles comes off shooting a bullet and getting first down, and more importantly, folks, we need to score touchdowns. Okay, Mitchell Trubisky cannot get into the red zone to save his life. Now, unfortunately, they made a bad decision on that. We can't go back in time. We've got to move forward. We're on to the fall. The Bears, the division, the biggest challenge is going to be all three teams. Don't undersell Detroit. Seriously, don't do it. And by the way, the Packers, as much as you want to put the slant on it, they're not that really good of a team. Well, guess what? I think bottom line, Aaron Rodgers and the second year coach, have a fantastic relationship, and they're going to be firing high. Especially you have the component with Minnesota. So the Bears have to control the destiny within the division. And by the way, where's the emphasis, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, on winning the division? Under other past Bears coaches, we had that. And we need to bring that element back.
Hold on 1 second. What is Matt Nagy's record in the division?
He's done really well, okay, except Green Bay. I mean, by the way, when he beat Detroit last year, Matthew Stafford was injured. And by the way, when they beat Minnesota, they played their second string.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so
Mitchell, I got to run. We appreciate you calling as always, okay, man?
All right, take care.
Thanks, kid. Mitchell back. Nice to have him back on the show. 312-332-3776. We have more of your calls, but Ramona Shelburne on the plan for the NBA's return to play next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
535 in Chicago. We're going to get NBA basketball back. Bulls are going to get a new head coach. Those are two facts. We're getting hockey back. EPL, Premier League, just announced they're back June 17th. Hopefully baseball wakes up. But Ramona Shelburne has been doing just phenomenal work. Like, they really need to call her in Bristol and go, hey, you've been doing such good work. We're tearing your contract up and giving you a new one. What do you think, Ramona? Does that work for you?
All circuits are busy. Please try your call again later. Announcement 8. Switch.
We lost her. I had her all set up for a raise, and she's gone.
Honestly, that was
awesome.
Funny.
That was awesome. That was awesome. So we'll get her back. She's been all over the NBA. And so as soon as Danny gets her back, is she back? Ramona, I was giving you a raise. I was telling the bosses they need to call you in on Zoom and go, you've been doing such great work. We're tearing your contract up and giving you a new one.
Thank you. I heard part of that. So, and I was getting all hyped, and then all of a sudden it was like, click. And I was like, oh, okay. That's how that is. Okay.
I've got your back. So I believe we are definitely going to play. And like, I'll be stunned if they can't work all this stuff out. Are you convinced we're definitely playing?
I'm convinced we're going to get a deal done, right? But then you have to remember that after we get, you know, a plan, a deal, you know, this is how we're going to try to pull this off, there's going to be like 2 months between now and then, right? Like, this is the end of May.
Yep.
And we're talking about end of July, August. So there's going to be some training camps. We're going to probably have positive tests. What do we have to do about that, right? Like, there's just going to be some setbacks no matter what. Like, you have to almost build that in and into your thinking on things. And, I'm optimistic. I think there's definitely a will. And, you know, I was asking somebody the other day, like, what do you think the key is to the NBA coming back? And the answer was essentially, we always thought we were going to. Like, in other words, when the league shut down indefinitely on March 11th, they always had in the back of their head, like, we're going to finish the season. Like, we're going to figure this out. There's a belief in that. Whereas, you know, I think if they hadn't started yet, like baseball, right? Or if they had, you know, other things going on, maybe you don't have the same desire to finish. But in a star-driven league where some of the biggest stars in the league are right in the thick of playoff competition and contending for a title, I think the NBA wants to be back, and they're gonna get themselves to the place where they can figure this out. I hope we get past whatever roadblocks or speed bumps we encounter along the way.
So, as you look at Commissioner Adam Silver, I believe he is the best commissioner of all the major commissioners. This guy seems to have a tremendous working relationship with the players and the respective owners. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason why this deal is happening the way it is that, like, Adam Silver just goes up to people and gives them his cell phone and says, call me, right? Like, one of my fun, like, my favorite Adam Silver stories from this year was he met with the rookies, you know, the first guy, you know, the rookies in the league, he would kind of go through stuff and, you know, here's how we deal with things, et cetera. It's just welcome to the league, right? But one of the slides, like, he puts his cell phone up on the slide. Like, okay, you guys take my number down. Call me anytime, right? Well, I think it was Michael Porter Jr. He, like, did a Snapchat of the presentation. And so Adam Silver's cell phone number was in that Snapchat. And it was, like, all of a sudden, like, everybody saw it because it was on Michael Porter Jr.'s cell phone, Snapchat, right? And everybody started blowing him up on his cell phone. And it's like, do you think Roger Goodell does that?
No shot.
Do you think Rob Manfred does that?
No shot.
Even if they did get out their cell phone like that, do you think that players would be like, hey, what's up?
No chance.
You know, and I really think that's, like, so indicative of Adam Silver's tenure here, is that he one of his first acts as commissioner was when he handled the situation with Donald Sterling and the Clippers. And, like, he was on the phone with LeBron and Chris Paul and all the players, like, the entire time. You know, this is what he does. And I think that relationships, and I always say this in my line of work, you know, relationships that you build with people in the, who you cover, you don't just call them when you need something. You call them all the time. You have those relationships that are watered so that when you get to a point when you need something or whatever it is, you're calling for information or especially if it's a bad situation and people really don't want to talk, like they do feel comfortable talking to you because you have a relationship. And I think that's the key so far for the NBA.
We're talking to Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. Why does it seem like the top players who have made 85, 90% of their money already all have gotten on this Zoom call and said, we want to play, just keep us safe, we want to be back on the court, fans want to watch basketball.
Yeah.
And in Major League Baseball, and again, they haven't gotten any of their money, I get there's a difference there, but it seems like everything's contentious.
Well, it is a little different, too. Like, Major League Baseball, when we're talking about guys going from $30 million to, like, $6 or $7 million,
right?
That's a pretty steep cut. You know, like, that's not like a little haircut off the top. Where, I mean, NBA players have started to give up 25% of their pay cut, but that was like just on the last couple of paychecks. And they could potentially get it back if they play, right? Like, I don't think there's a scenario where they're going to be made whole. Like, they're not going to get all of that 25% back. But, like, we're not talking about the kind of cuts that they're talking about in baseball. Plus, I think baseball players, and I actually have a lot of sympathy for them, right? Because they got outmaneuvered on this. Like, they initially, at the beginning of spring training, the beginning of the shutdown, they agreed to a certain proposal, right? They kind of started off by saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, they came back with one off, you know, that was based on a 120-game schedule,
mm-hmm.
and they came back with an offer for an 80-game schedule. I mean, that's like quite a significant difference. It's
yep.
40 different games, you know. And so it's like, but now they're in a corner where they're back to a corner where, like, anything they do, the public doesn't want to hear it, right? Like, they just want you greedy players to play, right? Like,
right.
We just want baseball. And every day that goes by, there's less chance of playing 120 games. So, like, every day that goes, I mean, it's like you never want to back yourself into a corner like that in a negotiating stance. So I would say, you know, there's two things, there's two big differences. One, the star players in the NBA, like, as you said, have already been paid. You know, a lot of them get their contracts paid up front at the beginning of the year, so it's kind of like an IOU almost right now in terms of the 25% that they're taking. But they also have a chance to win, like, really close to the end, and, like, the best player in the league, the two best players in the league, Giannis and LeBron, like, are on the top two teams who want to contend for a championship. So that, I don't think you can underestimate how important that is, that those two guys are really pushing the ball here, right? There's some momentum for it. But I also think that it's a little more fundamental in that the basketball players, they're being paid most of their salary. Like, you can talk about future losses, and I think that is very real for guys. Like, they understand, like, if you don't get this year in, boy, next year's really going to be messed up. And if you can't get next year in, then the salary caps go way down. Like, people really start losing their money. The league can invoke force majeure, right? They could cancel your contract altogether, do new CBA. Like, they understand that you have to give a little something now because – in the future, your leverage isn't going to be great if you don't.
Before I let you go, I don't need to see any more of the Bulls. I love the changes they made. I guarantee you that Jim Boylan will not be coaching them next year. I think they're going to hire an assistant from the Philadelphia 76ers, and I believe they are headed in a good direction. Do you think there is a hunger because of the finances to get all the teams out there?
I think initially there was, but, you know, the sense of, like, regional TV contracts, you know, I don't know about, you know, I know what you're saying about the Bulls. I think we all expect that, like, okay, there's a new sheriff in town and a new coach. I don't know. I did an interview with Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, towards the end of the last dance where he was talking about things. And I mean, he was pretty adamant in saying that he wants them to give Jim Boylan a chance. Like, he wants them to take him seriously. Like, I don't know. I know we all assume, right, when you hire a whole new staff and we do things. I just want to say that because it's the owner's words, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't know. It's interesting with playing again because I think a lot of teams initially, their reaction was like, yeah, what's the point if we're like lottery teams? But the longer this has gone on, the closer you get to a final decision, then you get a little regret, remorse, whatever you want to call it, because teams are looking at it going, shoot, like if we don't come back for this, right? Even though it's a training camp to basically play five meaningless regular season games, right? It seems like a lot of effort for not that much return. You potentially go from March until probably December, right? Next year is probably going to start in December. That's like 9 months without playing any basketball games. It's a really long time.
Really long time.
Yeah, and this might, it might be valuable just to like see the guys, get them in for a training camp. Same kind of way like NFL teams have their guys come in for OTAs in April, you know? I mean, it's, I think there is that sense among some of the bottom teams that, yeah, you know what, it's not just a, should we come back and just do our part? There would be a real benefit to coming back just to avoid that extremely long gap.
Thank you for your time. Stay safe and healthy. Keep killing it with great, great stuff.
Thanks, Bob.
See ya. There you go. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN on the plan for the NBA's return. We will take quick time out. Don't forget Crosstalk coming up in 13 minutes with Carmen and Yurko. Waddle and Sylvie show is at 2. Be right back.
Cap, cap, cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Weedman. Don't let mosquitoes take a bite out of your summer. Go to weedmanusa.com today. Paul is in Tinley Park. Hey, Paul, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, Kathy. Just wondering if you're going to reach out to your gym buddy, Double T, Taylor Twellman, to talk to him about the upcoming Premier League happening.
Who?
Taylor Twellman.
I don't know who that is.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you guys were best buds.
No, never heard of him. Can't tell.
Okay. Yeah, just an Olympian, you know? Never heard of that guy.
No, haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
There was some guy.
I wonder if he would say the exact same thing about you, actually. But
probably. But when you come on the air and then you run like a scared little child, yeah, no thanks. We'll take a hard pass. Thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Love the company. I don't know about the cap, but I love the company, that's for sure.
All I care about is you're listening. It's all that matters.
I'm listening.
Thanks, kid.
Yep.
Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776 is my phone number here if you'd like to call in and talk with us. Danny, cooking at home is on our list of, we've been doing a list of things that will change forever. Like, I feel like I've learned to be a pretty damn good cook. My wife even said, yeah, you've actually, I go on YouTube, I go on Pinterest, I get recipes. I'm like,
you invented lemon chicken.
I did.
Greek. Everything's got an orange cream sauce.
No, but a lot. Greek chicken, I invented that. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I don't think you invented Greek chicken. I think the Greek people invented Greek chicken.
Oh, I thought because my wife was Greek and I gave her some of my chicken, it was Greek chicken. I came up with some cool recipes, though, that I found online, all kidding aside, and I've enjoyed trying different things. I have. Loved it. It was awesome. So I just think that people are learning to eat more at home, and they're going to use those skills. I'll still want to go to my favorite restaurant. I can't wait to go to Chicago Cut and sit outside on the patio there. Whenever they allow it, I'll be there. I want to go. But I'm also excited with the cooking. Do you think that shopping malls will be eventually basically gone?
I think they're already basically, but pre-pandemic shopping malls were in trouble. I mean, you and I live by Northbrook Court Shopping Mall. They're tearing down major department stores to build condos in North Brevard because thanks to the likes of Amazon, people just don't go to malls anymore. They're thinking that the only reason people go to malls is for experiences, to get a manicure, to take their kids to like a something to play in. But like the actual going to a mall to buy clothes, to buy things, Amazon's made that not necessary. So,
but I think what if you need something that day?
I think malls were dying before the pandemic.
Yeah, they totally were.
I think this just kind of put the nail in the coffin because we all now realize I can get anything I need anytime I want on the internet, and delivery is so easy.
But again, clothes, I like to go somewhere and try them on.
Yeah, but like they all have amazing return policies. You buy a pair of pants, you buy a shirt, whatever it is. They drop it off at your house. You try it on. You look in the mirror. I like it. I don't like it. You put it back in the bag and you send it back out.
Like I'm shorter than you. I need to have to be able to buy pants and get them shortened.
Shorter than me is being kind to you.
What's that?
Go ahead.
What are you, like 6'7" all of a sudden?
Go ahead.
I like to be able to go into wherever the store is and go, yeah, I need a pair of pants. And then the tailor comes over and he shortens them. And I pick them back up, whereas with Amazon, I may get them 4 days later, 3 days later, whatever it is. Now I got to go find a tailor. Now I got that whole process. It's taking a lot longer.
See, here I'm the opposite, though. If I buy a pair of pants that need to be shortened, I have to take them home first and wash them before I allow them to shorten them. Because if you let them shorten them before
I'm talking about dress pants.
Like, well, that's a difference.
Like but nicer pants.
If you're getting a pair of pants shortened that you wash, if you shorten them before you wash them, you're just screwing yourself. So that's double trips to a store.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't know. As a place like Macy's or Nordstrom, like Needless Markup, as I call Neiman Marcus, they were always overpriced. Like I always wondered, who's shopping in there? Like the prices were insane. And now they filed bankruptcy. But you're telling me that like a normal Macy's, Nordstrom's, those places are all going to go away?
I don't know if they'll all go away, but there will be less of them. You won't need as many. You just won't.
Yeah, maybe less.
Well, I used to go to Macy's to buy underwear. I'm never going to buy underwear in an department
store
again.
That's a different thing. Correct.
I'm never going to buy socks again.
Get them online.
The last five pair of shoes I've bought have all been online, whether at Dick's Sports or I bought a pair of Allbirds at Allbirds website.
I did too.
I don't ever need to go in a store again. I try them on at home. If they're too big or too small, right back in the box for a new pair.
Yeah. But I still think there's got to be, like, to go buy a suit, you got to be able to go to the store.
Well, a suit's different because that is so tailored.
Yeah. It's interesting on how many things when we put this list together, the three of us and Mike Thomas, our boss, like the things you're looking at, like, are you going to get on a crowded blue line car, the red line, a CTA, but like, you're going to think twice.
When I lived in Logan Square, I used to take the blue line. I used to get on at California. I used to get off at State and Lake. That train was so packed that even pre-pandemic, you know, me being slightly a germaphobe, I was always uncomfortable because people are crammed and standing on top of you and you feel people's breath on your neck.
Yeah.
I can't imagine post-pandemic people cramming into train cars like that again.
But if they've got to go to work or get home, like what choice do you have? Like, we drive to work.
It's a great question.
I mean, wow. There's just so much on here. As I looked at this going, wow, like Northbrook Court up by where we live, you mentioned. How much of that's going to be left of 5 years from now?
Like, a place like Old Orchard, I think, will be left because there's the outside enjoyment of it.
Agreed.
Like, you're outside, you're walking around. It's a different experience than just being inside a mall going store to store.
How about going, okay, let me ask you a question. The pandemic's over. It's August, and we're kind of getting our lives back. And Diana and your kids are out of town. And you say, hey, man, you want to have dinner tonight? Sure. Want to go to the casino? Like, would you be jammed in, like, with someone 2 feet to your right playing blackjack?
Probably not. Especially you can play blackjack online. Like, it takes the need out of me being crammed in a busy, crowded casino touching chips that have been in 1,000 people's hands.
Right, but it's...
In Vegas, that's a different story because everything goes out the window to go to Vegas.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but eventually we'll get our lives back and we'll see where this all leads. We'll take a quick time out. We'll crosstalk with Carmen DeFalco, John Yurkovich, next.